Okay, so we're going to now do a space jump to Yehezkel chapter 12.
Say why.
Okay, we have taught Ezekiel chapters 1 through 4 in a series we did in Houston. Then earlier tonight I had done in the first part of Havarah chapters 5, 6, 7. And back as part of a series on the false Messiah, had done chapters 8, 9, 10, and 11. And now we're going to pick up in chapter 12, trying to tie together the various pieces of the book of Yehezkel. And again, the reason that it's happening this way tonight is we had a death in our family. My wife's husband died. Be bad. There was a rumor out in Odessa, Midland, that I had died, but her father died. And in getting everything together, it just ran out of time. Okay, so let's start here in Ezekiel chapter 12. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes to see but does not see, and ears to hear but does not hear. For they are a rebellious house. Now you remember that Yeshua said, let those that have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying.
Could we apply that to being a country?
Could apply it to a country.
Such as us.
Exactly. You can apply it to ourselves as individuals. There's a passage here in the book of Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 10, make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. Now, let me ask you, have you ever gone and shown something from the Bible to someone who is a believer and they couldn't see it at all? Or gone and shown something to someone that is supposed to be a believer. Maybe that'd be a better way to put it. And they couldn't see it at all. Now, I don't mean some obscure truth. But I mean something big, like the Torah hasn't passed away. Or another example is the manifestations of the Spirit. That they are real, that they are alive today.
Well, I'll give you an example in my case, Joe, where a man told me, he said, well, the Jews did kill Jesus. And I said, no, because in the book of Matthew, and I don't know the address, excuse me, but I know he does say, and no man taketh my life except that I lay it down freely. So you cannot kill that which is given freely.
Right. Well, I had this guy come to me. Back when we had a congregation, he was in the congregation. And he was a real neat guy and everything. But he said that he went to talk to this guy, and he was talking about tongues and things like that. And he said he showed it to this guy in this Baptist church. And the guy looked at it, and he says, well, it might be right. It might be Bible, but it isn't Baptist. And I mean, you have people just, this is my tradition. This is what we grew up with. You also have people that will say, yes, 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 yes. But then they don't ever change. That's kind of like the book of James, a guy that comes and sees himself in the mirror and walks away and nothing's happened. So, again, I believe that these verses had a literal fulfillment in Israel in the days of Ezekiel. But I believe that they're speaking of replacement theology Christianity in a prophecy for today. Therefore, son of man, prepare your belongings for captivity and go into captivity by day in their sight. You shall go from your place into captivity to another place in their sight. It may be that they will consider, though they are a rebellious house. By day you shall bring out your belongings in their sight as though going into captivity, and at evening you shall go in their sight like those who go into captivity. Dig through the wall in their sight and carry your belongings out through it. In their sight you shall bear them on your shoulders and carry them out at twilight. You shall cover your face so that you cannot see the ground, for I have made you a sign to the house of Israel. Why would you cover your face?
He's telling
Ezekiel to cover his face. Why would he cover his face? Moses covered his for the glory. David covered his for shame when he fled from Absalom. It's a sign of shame. The people will go out in shame, is what Yehezkel is. Out of all the prophets, my number one prophet I would not want to be is Yehezkel. Because this guy has to act out everything that's happening. Now, what we have here is not so bad, but he has some pretty drastic things he's required to do, that he is a walking pattern of what's going to happen. So I did as I was commanded. I brought out my belongings by day as though going into captivity. In the evening I dug through the wall with my hand. I brought them out at twilight and I bore them on my shoulder in their sight. And in the morning the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, has not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said to you, what are you doing? Say to them, thus says the Lord God, the burden concerns the prince in Jerusalem and all the house of Israel who are among them. Okay, so who is this prince? Who is this prince? In the ancient times, it was going to be Konaniah or Yechaniah, and then the king that came after him, which was Zedekiah, the last of the kings. This is the next to last and then the last. But it's referring to the prince here. Remember that the prince becomes a term, the Nasi becomes a term for the Messiah in Ezekiel chapter 37, and then as we go into Ezekiel 40 through 48. But the prince here is not a prince that follows God. He is a prince of people that are rebellious against God, and specifically rebellious against the commandments of God. He is what? A picture of the false Messiah. So here we're having a prophecy concerning the false Messiah and what will occur with him. What verse are we in? We just finished 11? Verse 11. So I say, I am assigned to you as I have done, so shall it be done to them. They shall be carried away into captivity. And the princes among them shall bear his belongings on his shoulder at twilight and go out. And they shall dig through the wall to carry them out through it. He shall cover his face so that he cannot see the ground with his eyes. This is going to be Zedekiah. Zedekiah, the last king of Judah. He shall cover his face, that means shame, so that he cannot see the ground with his eyes. I will also spread my net over him, and he shall be caught in my snare. I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans. Yet he shall not see it, though he shall die there. Well, King Nebuchadnezzar had Zedekiah brought to a place called Riblah, and at Riblah he put his eyes out, and he was carried to Babylon. And he lived to old age blind. He never saw the land of Babylon, but he died there. Now, in fact, he took his children and killed his children in front of him before he put his eyes out, so that the last thing that he would remember seeing is the death of his children. I will scatter to every wind all who are around him to help him, and all his troops, and I will draw out the sword after them. Then they shall know that I am the Lord when I scatter them among the nations and disperse them throughout the countries. But I will spare a few of their men from the sword, from famine, and from pestilence, that they may declare all their abominations among the Gentiles wherever they go. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, eat your bread with quaking, and drink your water with trembling and anxiety. And say to the people of the land, thus says the Lord God to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the land of Israel. They shall eat their bread with anxiety and drink their water with dread, so that her land may be emptied of all who are in it because of the violence of all those who dwell in it. And the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall become desolate, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, what is this proverb that you people have about the land of Israel, which says, the days are prolonged and every vision fails? Well, first off, why are they eating their bread with anxiety and drinking their water with trembling? Because they're in fear. Wherever they go, they're constantly in fear. Now, here we have this proverb that people says, the days are prolonged and every vision fails. It's very similar to what we have in 1 Peter. Let me read the prophecy to you. Excuse me, 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 1, Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by ways of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the Shlakim, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then ended perished, being flooded with water. And it goes on. Back over here to Ezekiel chapter 12. The days are prolonged and every vision fails. What does that mean? The prophecies of God fail. Hallmark, replacement theology. The kingdom now, that we are the kingdom now, it's already come. It's already come. Well, if this is the kingdom, cancel my ticket. Okay? Because this isn't what's prophesied in Scripture. This isn't what's prophesied in Scripture, but this is very much the message of one of the core messages of replacement theology. I have a question though. Can you be in replacement theology and still believe in the resurrection of the dead, the catching away of the believers, and the tribulation period coming and the second coming of the Messiah? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. In fact, a tremendous part of Christianity is in a degree of replacement theology. But the hardcore replacement theology denies that the prophecies will be fulfilled at all. So,
they don't believe in any prophecy.
But he says his word will not return void.
Hey, but listen, what you're dealing with here is blindness. We just read the verses about it.
But it is written.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter that it's written. What they're going to tell you, well, this is in the book of Ezekiel, that's Old Testament. That doesn't apply to today.
Don't they also say that it's already been fulfilled?
Oh yeah, it was fulfilled. Didn't you read Josephus? I've been told that on national television. More than once.
It wasn't been fulfilled.
Well, I was told on national television that all the prophecies of the coming of the Messiah were fulfilled in 70 Common Era. And Josephus recorded it all for us. There is no second coming. We die, and we are a spirit that goes to heaven. It's all been fulfilled.
It's going to be fulfilled again.
It is going to be fulfilled again. But this is, you know, let me just go ahead and put some things out here. Catholicism teaches this. Catholicism teaches that it's already happened. And that you've been, Church of Christ teaches that.
That all prophecy's been fulfilled, not that Yeshua has returned.
Well, no, they don't teach that. They teach he's not going to return. That you just become a spirit. There's not going to be a physical resurrection. You go to heaven. And you go to heaven. You're in heaven for all those years. Forever. Eternity. But there is no kingdom on earth to come. There is no millennium.
This continues forever.
This continues. It just gets better. We have to get it better. We have to get it better. We have to get it better. You would be absolutely appalled at how many of the denominations follow that line of thinking. You would be appalled.
In our generation, it hasn't gotten better.
No, in our generation, it's gotten a lot worse. I can't hear you, Paula, so I know that it can't be picked up on tape.
I have no voice today.
Okay.
Do they really follow that, or do they follow it kind of like most Baptist youth follow the not dancing thing?
No, they really follow it. Look, I have a book here put out by the Catholic Church on the Antichrist. Well, you think, oh, well, these people were looking for the Antichrist and prophecy and everything like that. Well, what this book says is that's the Baptist and all these other guys, okay, that they rebelled against the true church. And it comes out and tells you one of the things that's going to come out when we get to Far Enough in Replacement Theology is that Francis of Assisi taught that there was no millennium, and that was the stand of 99% of Christianity all the way up to the Reformation. In fact, past the Reformation, into the 1700s, and getting about the time of the American Revolution, people started believing in the millennium again. That is the background of Christianity. There was all, okay, this is something that needs to be brought out. God always has people that really seek out the truth and believe. Just like with Elijah, there were 7,000 that didn't bow the knee to Baal. In the first hour, we dealt with all the high places. That you go to Israel and all these churches are so full of idolatry and everything and that the prophecies of the high places are being fulfilled in those churches. Are there believers, true believers, among these different churches around the country? Yeah, there are. There are. There are people that are believers. Sometimes you have people that are not very knowledgeable. But there is a difference in them. They have a hunger. After they become a believer, they have a hunger to learn of God and to know God, not religion, not just doing. Listen, any ceremony that is in the Bible that God endorses, I'm 100% for. As long as it's done in the context God says to do it. Okay? In that context. I mean, if he says, hey, we don't have a temple, we don't do this ceremony, I agree with him. Okay? But I am very excited about the ceremony. Any ceremony that's outside of God, I don't want anything to do with.
You know, John, I believe that's a true believer. You're speaking of the more he or she learns, the more questions they formulate, which drives them to seek more knowledge than what they're getting in there.
That's right.
Stereotypical church, probably, which is what brought Margaret and I here.
It forces you out of that church.
Let me tell you what we are experiencing right now. We're experiencing a great awakening among non-Jewish believers around the world. And it's not, you know, if we said, oh, well, this is a result of so-and-so. You know, his or her teachings. And it's causing, it's not that, because we have people that are starting to seek all of these, you know, to say, hey, don't give me the same old cup of soup. I want to see what the Bible says. And they're going back and finding, hey, the Sabbath is still for today and it's for us. They're finding that the festivals of God, that those are still for today, and they're not only for the Jews, but for us. And it's happening in South Africa, and it's happening in New Zealand, and it's happening in Australia, and it's happening in the Orient, and it's happening all over Europe. It's happening everywhere you go, everywhere. And there we have, you know, we really came out in the last year, 2 years, being more direct with people on television. And what we expected is that, whoa, people were going to rise up and say, whoa, you heretic. Well, we've had some people rise up and say that. But the truth is, we have a lot more people saying, hey, that sounds right. And I have started searching it out, and you know what? I found out it was right. And we're having many, many, many more people starting to do that. Now, did those people just become believers? I don't think so. I think they were already out there. And when they started hearing the truth, they knew it was the truth. They might not have known much about it, but they started searching it out. And so, I believe that there is a large number of people that are believers out all these denominations. God's going to call them out. And I'm not trying to form an organization. I'm not trying to say, you know, he's going to call them out to such and such a group. He's going to call them out to start taking his word back to themselves as believers and walking in that word. Okay. Gerald, did we cover what you had asked me about there?
Yeah, I can't think of anything else to say.
Okay. Verse 17, I believe. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, eat your bread with quake. Oh, wait, we've already done that. What verse are we in? Okay, verse 23. Yeah, we just finished the proverb one. Days are prolonged, every vision fails. Verse 23. Tell them, therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will lay this proverb to rest, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say to them, the days are at hand in the fulfillment of every vision. For no more shall there be any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. Well, let's talk about flattering divination. Flattering divination. Probably going to make some people upset. But I believe that most of the prophecies that we have coming out today are nothing more than flattering divination. Now, I believe in prophecy. And I have heard some prophecies that were real, true, honest to God prophecies. And I believe in the manifestations of the Spirit. And I have seen real, bona fide manifestations of the Spirit of God. But there is so much that's out there that is not true and it's not real. And I believe that's what's being judged here. I personally would like to see more true prophecy from God. I would like to see more manifestations of the Spirit of God. And I am possibly, even because I've seen so much that wasn't, I have my hands out in front of me saying, I've got to be blown over by it before I'm going to be convinced that it's from God. Okay? And maybe that's that's too much. Maybe I shouldn't be quite that much. But here's what I want. I want the real thing. If it's from God, I want to know it's from God. And if it's from God, then I want to be, I want my mind and my heart and my actions to be, I'm not going to move on it because I know it's from God. I mean, I'm not going to move from that position. I'm going to plant my feet firmly with that prophecy. And I will let it have a bearing on my life. But I'm not about to do that unless I know it's from God. Any comments? Anything? Daryl?
Yeah, I kind of do. And thinking of it, again, back to the last hour where you're saying, hey, we know something's coming up but we don't prepare for it. I kept thinking, we've just gone through past a month ago, 9999.
Yes.
Talking
about YK2.
And
Y2K.
Yeah,
YK2 or...
It's YK2 now. YK4, YK... No, go.
And with the new year coming up, you think, well, you know, the last one was above. So what do you do about the future? Now, this isn't necessarily God-given, and yet it's going through my mind, well, you know, we're being warned. Do we pay attention to that? Do we not pay attention because it's not some oracle given by a TV minister? What do you do?
What do you do? I think one is that you look at what's happening and you be as mentally prepared for it as possible. I think that different people are going to handle this in different ways. I mean, I know people, you know people, that have gone into massive preparations, building additions onto their house to house people, all types of things, storing up vast amounts of food and everything. I believe that the Y2K, can be very serious. I have followed the passage in Matthew that says, look, don't worry about those type of things. Worry about the kingdom of God, and God will take care of you. My philosophy has been, if it's as bad as they prophesy, what are we going to do about it? Okay? What are we going to do about it? I would rather be in the hands of God than in the hands of me. And just count on God to give me whatever I need. I mean, if it's fuel to keep warm by, or if it's fish to eat, or, you know, whatever. But God would direct us at that time. And I'd rather spend the time concentrating on His Word and learning His Word and how to be in contact with Him. But I think that what you have to do is you can recognize a danger, then you as an individual need to go to the Lord and submit it before the Lord and have Him direct you as to what is the right thing for you to do. Did that answer you? That's how I approach it.
Yeah, the last statement. Each person needs to evaluate everything.
Right.
And take it before God.
And He'll direct you. And I don't have a problem if He directs you to store up provisions. I really don't. Really don't. I would hope that you did hear from the Lord on doing that. But for me, my direction is to concentrate on His Word.
You know, Joe, Mari and I have discussed this some length. And we're reminded of the passage, you know, look at the lilies of the field, and the birds of the air, and so forth. And
that's the passage I'm talking about.
So we have some provisions, but as we have discussed amongst ourselves, common people like us, there's no way we can store up provisions to last 3-4 years.
Right.
It's impossible.
And somebody will take them from you.
Exactly. Somebody
okay.
Can go out of the gun. So,
well, let's switch to the other side. Right.